Welcome to Cutting It Straight, where the issues and concerns of our times are examined in the light of the Word of God. And hello there, and welcome to Cutting It Straight. I'm your host, Nikita Wharton. And as always, we have with us Pastor Bruce David Bell, the pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship here in Richmond, Virginia. Pastor Bruce, good to have you with us again tonight.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Good. We're glad because it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
Tonight's episode is entitled, By the Numbers, Their Significance in the Scriptures. And so we're going to be talking about essentially numbers that appear in the Scriptures, what some of the meaning of those numbers may be, the significance of numbers in the Scriptures, and how that significance affects us, and what is actually stated in the Bible itself. So let's get started. Well, as you know, there has always been an interest in the subject of numbers in the Bible.
Yes.
And there has also been many speculations on that subject. Perhaps you could kind of enlighten us and give us a little more of a backdrop on that particular subject matter.
Okay. Since we're dealing with the Word of God, and the Lord is the author of the Bible, many times we come across things that are not understandable to us. They're a mystery, some of which we can unravel, and sometimes we just can't. The problem that I see with numbers is that many times people want to attach meaning and significance to numbers that turn out to be really an opinion and speculation. And they draw from material outside of the Bible and come up with a theory which may or may not have anything to do with what the Scriptures teach.
So is there any way for the average Christian Bible reader to really know what certain numbers or if certain numbers have a particular significance to them or by reading the Bible itself?
I think we have to remember that numbers were put in the Bible by the Lord and certainly do have a significance. Mm-hmm. And they're important for us to know because we may be missing out on something that the Lord has for us by the use of those numbers. Mm-hmm. The question becomes, why are those numbers there?
Okay. So where do we start in understanding the use of the numbers and why they are there?
Good question. I think we need to start where we always start when we do Bible study. Mm-hmm. We need to start with a literal understanding that these numbers are mathematical values that the Lord has put in the Bible. For example, there are dates, there are numbers that have to do with population, numbers that have to do with armies, locations, measurements. All of these numbers are literal, and as we would with any study we do in the Bible, we need to understand them literally.
Okay.
Sometimes the problem is that even though they are literal, we have difficulty in accepting them because to us they seem unreasonable. For example, Genesis chapter 5, we are told that the ages of people were rather long. We find that to be something that is hard to grasp, particularly think of Methuselah, 969 years old.
Right.
Well, nobody lives to be 969 years old, but since we find nowhere in the Bible that tells us that that was symbolic or had another meaning, we need to accept it as being a literal number. And I think there's the key. We need to look at those numbers as literal unless we find something in the text or in the context of that scripture or someplace else in the Bible where we're given more information mm-hmm. that would cause us not to accept that number as literal. If not, we need to accept it at face value.
Okay. Now, understanding that, so basically some numbers we should accept as literal because they're given in that fashion,
yes.
and we should accept it in that fashion. Or can you think of any particular numbers that maybe not should not be looked at as just literal, but have more of a significance spiritually or otherwise?
Let's start with this. Numbers are literal. Mm-hmm. I said that.
Sure.
But sometimes they're indefinite numbers. They're numbers that are given to help us understand the intensity of something. For example, Revelation chapter 5, we are told that around the throne of God there are thousands upon thousands of angels.
Right.
Well, literally, there are thousands upon thousands, but the idea there is there are so many, they're unable to be counted. So there, it's beyond the literal number. It's to give us a feeling of the extent, the vastness mm-hmm. of those who surround the throne.
Okay.
Another place where numbers are used that are not as definite are in rounded numbers, rounding off numbers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in certain passages, we'll find numbers like 20 and 40 and 80 and 100 and 1,000, and they are not meant to be taken necessarily as literal, but they have been rounded up to give us a picture. For example, John chapter 21. Jesus told his apostles to go to Galilee. Mm-hmm. He would meet them there.
Right.
The risen Lord would meet them there. Well, they got there and Jesus wasn't there, so they decided to go fishing. John, the apostle who was writing that account, tells us that the boat that they were in was 100 yards from the shore. Mm-hmm. Nobody got out of the boat and measured it. That was a rounded off number. Actually, it's 200 cubits, which translates over into 100 yards. So that's an approximation. Sometimes the Bible uses numbers as an approximation to give us an idea, but not necessarily an exact literal number.
Gotcha. Now, we know that the book of Numbers has a lot of numbers in it, and it goes to exact nature
yes.
for almost everything that it calls out.
Right.
Was that God's intent? And well, obviously it was his intent since it's in the Bible, but it was to be exact in relation to
yes.
what was talked about and what was discussed in the book of Numbers.
Again, if we find no place in the word that tells us that there is some sort of symbolic mm-hmm. meaning to that number, we need to take him at his word, and that would be to literally accept that number as a mathematical number that he wants us to understand okay. for whatever reason.
Okay. So as you mentioned, many have assigned symbolic meaning
yes.
to numbers in the Bible.
Right.
Could you go into a little more expanse on that?
The difficulty with understanding numbers in a symbolic way is that many times people will draw from information outside of the Bible to understand the symbolism in that number. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they will draw from Greek, sometimes from Egyptian, mm-hmm. even Hebrew. And what we come up with then is something based on, at least in the case of the Greek, and the Egyptian, something that is satanic, mm-hmm. something that is not of God, but is of the occult. There is the danger. Mm. In discussing or understanding the symbolism in numbers, I think once again, we have to start with the individual number in that particular verse. It may in fact be symbolic, mm-hmm. but then to take that number and to transfer that symbolism every time that number is used would be a mistake, but that is in fact what people do. Mm. For example, the number 8 sure. has been called the number of new beginnings.
Right.
Part of that is based on the account of Noah in the ark, where there were 8 people.
Right.
Therefore, the conclusion is those 8 people provided a new beginning for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you would like to use that number 8 in every case, what happens is we will twist the scripture in order to support that theory. See, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. You want to make your theory correct rather than letting the Bible interpret itself. For example, Jesus was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. Well, they will say, no, it's actually the 8th day of the week because the 7th day would be Saturday. Sunday is the first day of the week. But they say, well, it comes after 7, therefore it's the 8th day. You see, it's a new beginning. Isn't that twisting the scripture a little bit? Yeah, it is. Sometimes people will take things outside of the Bible to support their theories. For example, staying with the number 8, they'll look at a piano, believe it or not, and they'll count the notes in a scale on the piano. There are 7 notes in a scale. When you get to the 8th note, that is the same as the first note with a higher pitch, mm-hmm. and they'll say, no, it's actually the 8th note. It's a new beginning. That is the danger of taking a number and constructing a meaning that you apply in every case. That doesn't mean that there is not symbolism. Of course, there is symbolism in the Bible, but we need to have a balance mm-hmm. in our understanding of that. Let's think of an example beginning in Genesis. The Lord created man on the 6th day of the week, mm-hmm. correct? Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 2, we're told on the 7th day, he rested, not because he was tired, but because he had completed his work. Mm-hmm. Now, the number 7, then, is a number of completion, right. A number of perfection,
right.
We might say. Go all the way to Revelation, and you will have that number. In fact, you have the number 7 throughout the entire Bible. Out of all the numbers that I see in the Bible, the number 7 seems to be the only one where we can say there is a consistent relationship between that number, its literal meaning, and its symbolic meaning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every other number seems to change depending on the context and where it is found. So, okay, we have 7 days, creation is complete. Go all the way to Revelation, we have the Lord speaking to 7 churches. Mm-hmm. 7 churches found in Asia Minor, which is the country of Turkey today. Why those 7? There were more than 7 fellowships in that region. He chose those for a reason. He is drawing our attention to those 7. In Revelation 1, he calls them lampstands, mm-hmm. 7 of them. He says that they are churches that exhibit qualities that he commends and some qualities that he rejects. He's drawing our attention to that beyond the literal fact of 7 fellowships. He wants us to focus on what those 7 fellowships are involved in. Therefore, he is using that number to draw us in that direction. Mm. Every other number, it seems to me, you have to be careful to make a broad statement about its meaning, and it needs to be looked at in the context of those verses. Another example.
Sure.
Revelation chapter 13, the end of Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. We are told in a description of the Antichrist that his number is the number 666.
Right.
Well, look at the verse itself. Right after it gives that number, it says it is the number of a man. We don't have to look far then for the meaning. That number is the number of a man. Why? Because at that time, people will look at this man, the Antichrist, as a god, divine. The Lord is saying, no, he is just a man. When was man created? On the sixth day. This man is like every other man. He's mortal. Why was the number repeated three times? Repetition. The Lord uses repetition of numbers. Why? Because it's a repeating number. He will always be a six. He'll never be a seven. He will never have perfection. He will never be God.
He'll always be a
counterfeit. He'll always be a man. Six, six, six. No more involved than that.
Okay, that was great. So even beyond the symbolic interpretation of numbers, is there a mystical use of numbers in the Bible?
The answer is many people want there to be mysticism involved in the Bible. And they will take these numbers and they will come up with formulas, sometimes transferring them over to letters, sometimes using Egyptian methodology in order to assign a meaning to those numbers. And all of that mysticism is outside the scope of the Bible and should be avoided by the serious Bible student.
Now, usually when the world does this, it's called numerology.
Yes.
And as Christians, we should not utilize that terminology for any numbers that are in the Bible or that we look at or that have any particular meaning within the Bible. Is that not correct?
The word itself, numerology, originally is a word that had no incorrect connotation. It's a Latin word. It just means the study of numbers.
Right.
What has happened is that word has come to take on that mystical quality, which means it has taken on a quality, a satanic quality as well. We could use it, but the connotation of it would steer us into thinking that where we don't want to go. So it might be best to avoid that word.
Right.
So there is.
Although I have heard people indicate that and state that. So I think we just wanted to set it clear so that everyone knows exactly what we're saying. And we don't utilize that terminology for the numbers that we see in the Bible.
Yes.
Good. So can you kind of summarize what we've been talking about this evening and kind of put a good ending to it.
All right. A few things, I guess, would summarize it. Number one, in looking at numbers in the Bible, look at them literally, unless there is an indication that you should look at it in a different way. And the indication would be the way it is used in the text, in the context of what's being talked about, or if there's something else in the Bible that would help you to understand that that number has taken on an additional meaning other than its literal meaning.
Okay.
And if you cannot find that, you need to leave it literally where it is. Let's go back for a minute to what we had just talked about, the example we used where the apostles were in Galilee and they were fishing that night. And we had said they were about 100 yards out in the water.
Right.
All right. So they had fished the night. They didn't catch anything, which is unusual. They were a lot of them were fishermen, had fished on the Sea of Galilee before. And so in the morning, there's someone on the beach who asks them if they've caught anything. And they didn't know it was the Lord. And they said, no, they hadn't. And then an unusual set of instructions. He says, well, throw the boat on the right side. Throw the net on the right side of the boat, which fish don't know left from right, but they did it anyway. And we're told that they caught an inordinate amount of fish, so many fish that they couldn't even pull the net into the boat. They had to drag it to shore. And when they got to shore, we're told that the net wasn't broken, which is unusual as well for that amount of fish. And how many fish? John the Apostle tells us 153 fish.
Right.
Now, there are those who want to make that into something more than it is. Mm-hmm. And some have said, well, there are 153 different species of fish in the Sea of Galilee, and I don't know if that's true. Therefore, he's saying you will reach the entire scope of man in its entirety. Some have gone even beyond that. Mm. I think if we apply the biblical perspective here, I think we need to understand that John was there. He was a fisherman. The net hadn't broken, and they counted the fish. I don't think it's any more than that. It was a miracle, certainly,
sure.
An indication that with the Lord's help, there are many things that are possible that would be impossible for us to do. But taking it literally as 153 fish is what it is.
Right.
153 fish. There is no other place that number is used in the Bible. We can't get any help there. People have to go outside the scope of the Bible if they want to come up with a theory. And as we said at the onset of this time, that is the problem. People want to theorize, and that is why their speculations many times not only are wrong, not only are unbiblical, but may actually be satanic.
Mm. Good. Well, thank you. That was that's an excellent rendition of the numbers in the Bible and the significance of them, and we thank you for bringing that to us. So, folks, I want to invite you to our website, www.bbfva.org, to see the content that we have on our website. I also want to invite you to like us on Facebook and look at us on Facebook as well, and to go to YouTube, where we have all of our videos. We have so much other content on our page and in our station on YouTube. For your understanding. I mean, we want you to go there, to want you to view things, want you to communicate with us, ask us any questions, let us know that you like the content, or if you don't like the content, and maybe you can give us some insight as to how we can better the things that we do and the materials that we provide. So we're inviting you to go to all of those particular social media outlets and to talk back to us. So on behalf of Pastor Bruce David Bell, we thank him for being with us. I'm Nikita Warden, your host, and we thank you for looking and listening to us this evening. Have a great day and be blessed.
Amen.